Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. You are listening to From a Stranger to a Stranger. My name is Issa Martel. And today is the first of Muharram, which starts a new Islamic Hijri year. The year is 1443, which corresponds to Tuesday, August 10th. So I'm recording this now in the evening, but it's after sunset, so Islamically it is Tuesday, not Monday anymore, which is why the date says that, and not Monday. But in any case, we are in a new year. A new year. Muharram has Ashura in it, Yom al-Ashura, which is the day of Ashura, which this year will be on August 19th, the 10th of Muharram, will be Thursday, August 19th. And that's it. We actually went 30 days of Dhul Hijjah because no one sighted the moon at sunset on Sunday. So now it's automatically defaults. That was the 29th day. And so since no one saw the crescent moon, at least here in America, I go off of Chicago Halal Committee, which uses visual sighting. And it's through all North America. I think, and they take from the Caribbean and pretty much anyone in this region of the world. And they do the lunar calendar in that manner. So, that being said, today was a really interesting day. My oldest son has autism, and he goes to a special school here in Minnesota. He goes to the 916 school district, so if you know are familiar with Minnesota or Minneapolis, St. Paul area, there is a school district called 916, which specializes in this type of stuff. So all the teachers are kind of trained beyond just regular, like, public school teachers. They're trained specifically to deal with children who have autism in some degree, and they have counselors and therapists and stuff at the school, too. The class is, like, max size, five people, like, five kids in the class. Maybe six, I guess it depends. Or, you know, it could be less, but I think my kids has maybe five kids. Or last year, he had five kids in the class. So this school is highly trained and, you know, it's designed to fit the needs of these children. So, this is where he was recommended going after he went to the public school system, and he was having difficulties there, the school district and stuff. Forest Lake School District is where we live. They recommended sending him to 916 District. in one of these schools. So, you know, last year was his first year there. He did really well in it, for the most part, you know. But I guess there was an incident in May, which something happened in the class. I don't really know what triggered my son, Saifuddin. And so he, you know, hasn't had an autistic episode. And I guess one of the teacher's assistants came up to him while this was going on, and he, according to her, threw a chair at her, which hit her in the head, and I guess injured her. And he also called her a fat whore while doing this, which, you know, he shouldn't have said that, but I have no, in when you hear what I'm about to say, I have no issues with her with him calling her that. I don't know if she's fat or anything. I've never seen her, so I don't know who. So whether she is or not, I don't know. So there is that. So this happened at his school, and we were notified of it. This happened in May when it happened. But there was, like, it was a notification in the sense that the school called us and said, yes, you've had an episode, like, this is what happened, and he struck a teacher. And this was it. So we were informed that it happened, but we weren't, this type of thing in this type of school is like kind of an accepted normality in the school, because it's a school for autistic children. And how to have them learn skills and this type of stuff to, you know, help them navigate through life or whatever, and not have this these autistic episodes happen. So he he had this episode, and we didn't hear nothing of it. You know, nothing else beside the original email or whatnot that day that it happened. I think his teacher called, because I kind of vaguely remember speaking to her on this. But in any case, so it went on, you know, like, okay, this happened, this kind of happens in this place or whatever, and it was documented, and, you know, everybody went on. So then about a month after that, in June, yeah, it was about almost maybe a little more than a month after that, we got a call from the sheriff. And the sheriff had informed us that charges were being pressed against Saifuddin and... you know, by this woman, she's claiming that this happened, and you know, if we would want to send him to some diversionary group, that would basically like drop the issue right there, right? So I was like, hell no. The hell you gonna send my, and I'm sorry for cursing. But I was, like, so livid. I didn't, you know, we weren't, I'm definitely not going to, because, and they'll try to tell you this isn't the case, but, you know, this is the Ramsey County Sheriff's Office. you know, it, by you doing this, you are admitting that you're guilty of something, you know. And this is how they, like, get people to take plea bargain types of things and this type of thing, because, you know, would you, because you're not giving a choice, right? You're not, you're saying you can say you did this or and nothing will happen, or you can go basically to like a trial and hope that people believe you that it didn't happen. But if you go to trial and get found not guilty or innocent, so they will, you don't have a record or anything, right? So you're completely done away with. But if you go to like a program or something like this, you know, there's a record that you did that, you know, in some way, I guess you can say there'd be a record that you like were on trial and were charged, but the charges didn't stick and you were, you know, found not guilty. But they won't say innocent because that's different, you know. You could be found not guilty but still not be innocent, I guess, is what they think. So she went around outside of the school and filed these charges against our kid, right? Our kid, who is 11 years old, by the way. So she went and filed charges against our 11-year-old autistic son, who goes to an autistic school where this woman works at, right? And is put in charge of being an assistant or whatever she, whatever her official, her official title is there. So the first we heard about this is when, the sheriff called us and asked us this. So you can imagine being just like caught off guard to begin with, and then that this happened, or that this happened, meaning that this woman is filing charges against, like, our kid, and then being, like, pressed this question, you know, and this was in June. Everyone who has been, so now it's August, you know, so everybody who has now, who has been involved in this, from the side that might have to do with anything in the government, like the people that work at the, like the sheriff, the sheriff's office people, like the people that work in the education, or not education, the people that work in like social work and stuff, all have said to do this diversionary program, right? So, I mean, what does that tell you? I don't know. I don't have an answer to this question, so I'm just putting it out there. What does that tell you about our society and our system, right? When the norm is to, oh, okay, someone put these charges against your kid, like a juvenile, so it can be like up to 18 or 17 or 16, whatever. Someone filed these charges against your kid, and you have the, you know, you have the choice now to either say, yeah, he did them, and so he doesn't get a record, I'll do this diversionary program. You know, that's choice A, or choice B is, okay, well, let the charges roll through and see if they, like, you're found not guilty or not, you know. So it's, and when you think of a trial, right, so you're given this choice. So when you think of a trial, there is the possibility that, you know, even if you are not guilty, you know, like the defense presents the case better or whatever, you know, and you're found guilty. So then you're going to jail. You know what I mean? So as a kid, you know, in my son's case here, this isn't so such a big issue because he's only 11. But like if you're an adult thinking about this, and what I mean it's not a big issue is in that with an adult, like my kid doesn't even know this level of complexity involving this type of stuff. So that's why I'm saying it's not that big of a deal in this regard. But, you know, as an adult, you're thinking, okay, you know, I can just go through this little program here for however long it is, a couple weeks or maybe a couple months or whatnot. And I'll be done with it, and it's probably pretty run-of-the-mill straightforward, or I can, you know, attempt to go to trial and maybe get found guilty and have to do some sort of sentence, jail time or something like this. Most people, when presented with this in the way that the sheriff and these people presented to you, or at least this sheriff did to us, they presented in a manner that's very aggressive and like hard, and it's kind of just to like run, I don't know, it seems it's just to run people through the system, like, okay, do this and sign it, or, you know, take this or whatnot, and you know, it'll be done. You know, there's some paperwork you got to fill here, sign it, there you go, and just go out there and do whatever, you know. Whether you're not the person is innocent or guilty doesn't even, like, matter, you know. Like, and the reason I'm saying this is because the sheriff didn't ask us, oh, what happened on this day, you know what I mean? Like, there was no, like, getting our side or safe side of what happened. He just took this woman's account and that was it, you know. And then before even anything happened, you know, he like was suggesting this. so it's pretty sleazy, I guess, in a way, the way that it was done in this situation. So that happened, and now eventually, after a couple weeks, then we got the notification that they're putting the charges through to go to the hearing for the charges. And in this time period, we went and we got a lawyer for him and this type of thing. And so today was the hearing this morning. And our judge or our lawyer had told us that what he's going to do is ask for it to be, for the case to be dismissed at this level, and if not, then request a like an evaluation, which is kind of like a psych eval on Saifuddin to determine, you know, if he has, if he was like basically mentally stable, if he is mentally stable to like actually proceed in a hearing, and you know, if he's stable and this action was uncontrollable as instead of intentional. So, and here we go. Like, there was kind of an error on our part because there wasn't filed any documentation from the school or from us stating some things like that the school is an autistic school and this type of thing. So the woman wrote this account leaving out her place of employment is an autistic school, a school for autistic kids. And that safe has autism. She didn't put any of that in this, when she filed her police report. So the judge is looking at this, and in a nutshell, because there was no evidence, like physical documented evidence, that to what we're saying, meaning saying that, you know, this was a school for autism and he's autistic and this, she couldn't dismiss it at this point. And she said okay for this psych eval thing to happen. And then they'll meet again after that, and then she'll hear it. So that's the legality part of what happened, which is totally, completely, like, jacked up, you know. But that's the system. You know, the system, I get, and I understand today's part of the system, of what happened, that, you know, you need, like, physical documentation, you know, to trump what this woman had wrote or whatever. But if we go back 2 months or whatever, how did it get this far? Like, why wasn't this squashed? And I you know, complained a lot to the school, to the principal of the school, you know, saying, why didn't you squash this? You know, why did this woman go outside of the school? Because the school didn't know that this woman filed these charges either until that same day, because the sheriff also called the school. So they got informed of this at that point also. So, you know, it was like a big shock. So, but, you know, knowing that, why did the sheriff recommend that this goes forward? Why didn't he look at this and be like, this is completely insane? You know, the kid's autistic. He goes to an autistic school. You know, you, during an autistic episode, you tried to restrain him, which caused him to flip out more. You know, if you know anything about autistic kids, this is like, if you try to grab one of them like this, you might get punched or something worse. You know what I mean? So, you know, this is the reality, you know, and you're working in this type of environment voluntarily, like willingly, you know, you're working here. So you should know that this is a reality. And then to like, go outside of the employer, your employer, and file like a police report, like file charges. She filed fifth degree assault charges, which is like nothing, but it's still that she went out and filed charges against a kid. So it's what does this say about the character of such a person? You know, why would she, you know, do this for what gain? You know, unless, you know, she's trying to get some sort of financial gain, which she might, and, you know, it's very possible. Maybe she's trying to do something, sue the school or try to get like workman's comp or something. But, you know, too bad, you know, so that's what I think. And it's because I can't feel bad for you if you choose to work in that environment, you know, knowing that's a possible outcome of any day. You know, yes, you shouldn't be hit at your place of work, right? You shouldn't be put into harm's way, right? Unless you choose the type of work that puts you in harm's way or puts you in a position where you might get struck right? And I don't know how you can get a job at a school for autism, right, where they have protocol on how to deal with some kid, including having to be trained to restrain a child, right? Like restrain them in like restraining holds. So, you know, you're in this environment. What do you think can possibly happen to you? You don't think that maybe one day you might get hit, you know? So it says something about you or this woman who filed this complaint. It says something about your personal character. And when it's presented like this, when your character is exposed in this manner, I have like zero respect for this woman or anyone who would do something like this. You know, I can't, I can rationalize reasons why she did it, you know, like I just said before, you know, I can, you know, find hypothetical excuses for her, but any respect I would have for her is gone, you know, or anyone who did this, does this type of thing, you know. So it's, to me, a very low... I don't know. I don't even know. I don't know of a word off the top of my head to describe the idea that I'm thinking. It's like low, shallow, hollow, like something like this. Like, I mean, I would even go as far to say like wicked. You know, wicked would be. At least that's how I'm imagining her now, you know, like in this way, because of this, because she's gone like this, she's now like morphed into like something sinister, because she intentionally filed this where Saifuddin did not intentionally strike her, right? He just... if you've seen someone have like an autistic fit or whatever you want to call it, you know, if you come near them, they swing at you, but it's not that they want to swing at you. It's just that this is what's happening with their body. And he called her a fat whore too. So I guess, you know, when she came up to him, so, oh, and they said that he threw the chair at her. That's right. Yeah. So, I hope that as he was throwing the chair at her, he called her a fat whore, you know, because of what because of now, she deserved that, you know. And like I said, I don't know if she's fat or not, but if she is, it makes it even better. It makes her better. Yeah, so, but I have no, like I said, no respect, and it's just odd to think that a person employed in this school would do something like this, because you're basically punishing the kid for his quote unquote normal behavior, and he's in a school dedicated to that. So there, they should be able to act in any way because they're trying to work through their autism, you know, like, and develop skills that can that they can learn to regulate themselves, and these things won't happen in the future. But if you punish them for then doing this, that's like a complete breach of trust to someone. You know, then you're implanting in the kid, well, you know, I do this, like it's a lie. You know what I mean? You're putting in your head, in their head, you're putting in their head the concept that the authorities and the grown-ups lie, you know, and that the system is a big bunch of crap, you know. That's what you're putting in when situations like this happen. So now we got to wait for this evaluation, which is like I think in a week, next Tuesday or something. So you know, now the thing is that he's, you know, they're about to go back to school. Is he going to go back to this school? That's the question now. You know, are we going to send him back here? The school itself, like the teachers, his teacher was excellent. His counselor was excellent. His therapist was excellent. And the school, we really were impressed with the school. So it's not the school itself. Or that district, per se, but it's this woman. So we don't know if this woman is still works there, because that'll matter, you know. If we said, and why would you keep this? Like, this is a question I had, you know, but I haven't gotten answered, and we found out that it. Well, it won't be answered, which was if she works there or if they fired her, because they can't legally say, I guess, like that they fired a teacher, or if she works there, or you know, I guess maybe they can't say if they fired her. But the home district here, which, like I said, is Forest Lake. So how it works is Forest Lake is our school district, and they partner with these other districts that can offer different special facilities that they don't have in Forest Lake, and they're not capable of handling. So, like in this instance, they partner with 916 school districts. So, children that have needs like this, I'll get bused to 916, but there's still a Forest Lake. That's their district. So all the like administration and everything still trumps everything, because this is their home, you know, this is his school district. So they are calling over there to discuss this as well now, because this is a problem, you know, how, so now that they're involved as well. So now his school district is involved, and they are questioning how this happened and this type of thing. And how are they going to ensure that this won't happen again, and, you know, that he's going to be, like through his IEP, they will provide the services that match the IEP. So that's basically what happened today. There was a bunch of other stuff too, but that's like try to condense it down into a short short summary. Yeah, so it's pretty messed up. We'll see what happens. I personally don't see, I don't know. I think that it'll be dismissed, after these, this like psyche eval and the other types of paperwork that we have documenting his situation, gets submitted. Because the judge, she seemed that, they all, like, the judge kind of seemed that she might get it, but she couldn't dismiss it because there was no contrary, like, opinion or any documentation, which was, I guess, an error on our lawyer's part. But, you know, that being said, you know, inshallah, it'll get dismissed. After this stuff. But it's messed up, man. This is the system. The system of this, you know, the best country in the world, right? It's like so much freaking, oh my gosh, you know, we as in the United States, not me particularly, and perhaps not you listening, but we in the general sense of the whole country, you know, have this thing that, oh yeah, well, we're the best country. You know, you can go live someplace else and this and that, but really, like, look at, like, what the what you're attributing the best as. This is the best. We live in a country that has laws that allow this to happen, and this is the best country in the world. You know, this is the best legal system. You know, we'll just take, like, the umbrella term that this is the best country, therefore, you know, by default, it would have to have the best legal system, you know, to be the best country. It would have to have, you know, these types of things, and it's clearly not. It's clearly not. And if you think, you know, you may personally like living here, you know, and believe that nowhere else in the world is at least equally as good. But, you know, chances are such people, you know, never been anywhere, you know, outside of the U.S. You know, maybe they traveled around. Going to, like, Mexico and Canada doesn't count in my eyes as traveling either, especially if you just go to, like, these, like, resort-type places. You're basically in little America. You know, but is it the best? You know, this is what the system allows for. And all the other things, you know, our prison system, right? You know, it's just designed to keep people inside the system. Knock it out. And now they're trying to get 11-year-old. And they said, like, the thing that's crazy, right? The minimum age they can charge you is at 10. So, I mean, if you're 10, you can get slapped with these charges too. A 10-year-old, you know. I can like, if you're like 16 or 17, you know, and, you know, some kids, you know, are huge at that age. So I can see that, you know, being like, okay, you know, something needs to be addressed. But, you know, a 10-year-old... You know, a 10-year-old is, you know, developed enough. Like, your brain doesn't stop developing. Your brain is not completely developed until you're, like, 25 for a guy, right? So, this is, like, less. So, you know, his brain is less than half developed versus this fat whore's who's an adult and you know, a completely adult, trained, educated woman who's 10 years older than me too. You know, so she's 57 years old, charging an 11-year-old. This is crazy. This is it. I thought I would have to, right? I thought that, you know what, I might get in a position like this with my kid, right? I might get in a position where, you know, I have to, you know, do something with my kid, you know, because of this. But I was thinking the position would be like more like something happened in the playground and like, someone tried to like pushed him or something and he fought back and jacked the dude up. And then they were going to like suspend both of them or something. Cause I would be like, no, or whatever. I mean, if they were going to, I would argue that he shouldn't be suspended, but if he was suspended, I'd take him on a freaking vacation. You know, I'd be like, look, you know what? Good for them. And because I tell these kids, I don't care if you beat someone down, you know, as long as, you know, they start it, right? So if you're being bullied, right, you can hit the person, right? Knock them out, right? Assert dominance and take control of the playground, you know? And if I, as your parent, am not going to even question it. Like I said, I'll take you and get ice cream. You know what I mean? The school, because this is an example too, right? This is an example. You teach kids, okay, that dude's a bully. Don't let him bully you. Don't let him bully you. You know, this, that. Don't be a bully. Don't do this. Bully, 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 blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm going to punch the bully. Oh, now, no, whatever it is, the no fault, whatever dumb clause that they put in these schools that both people get the same, like, punishment. It's ridiculous. It's, like, so ridiculous. But I didn't have to deal with that, or at least not yet. I have to deal with our kid throwing a chair at a para, or whatever the hell she is. Sorry, I didn't pause it while I'm drinking. Some nice black coffee is what I drink, and I chase it down with some Life Water, pH balanced, purified water, electrolytes for taste. So this water, if you drink bottled water, I think is the best bottled water. It's better than here in Minnesota. There's like this, there's like, what is it, Dasani? Is another, the two big ones on the, oh, there's another one too. I forgot what it was, but I used to drink that one. Oh man, I can't remember. But I think like Coke bought it or Pepsi bought it. And I was like kind of mad because I didn't, you know, I was like, oh, well, now it's like a Coke product. But then this water came out, Life Water. It's like the word life, but water doesn't have any vowels in it. It's just WTR. But this is good. And I think it even tastes better than all the other bottled water. Yeah, so coffee and water is my kind of like my drink. But sorry for the left turn tangent. So, yeah, man, that's it. That's what's going on now. We'll see what happens. I didn't know this. This weekend coming up, if you live in the Twin Cities and are listening to this before, I guess, Wednesday, I guess Darul Farooq is having a seminar Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And I just found out about this today because, alhamdulillah, like a brother from Chicago, like, sent me a message and was like, yo, we're coming to Minnesota. What's up? And I had never met him in real life. I just know him from the internet, for years on the internet. I was like, oh, man. I'm like, why are you coming up? And they're like, yo, for the conference. And I'm like, what conference are you talking about? But the thing is that where Darul Farooq is in Bloomington. And I am, like, by Forest Lake. So if you know, this distance is huge. Forest Lake is in the north. And Bloomington's, like, the way south. So it's probably, like, maybe, like, an hour of highway driving. If I just get on the highway and drive all the way down on the highway, it takes like about an hour to get down to Bloomington. So I don't really go down there no more. But I was like, yo, let's meet up. So that's what's going on. So that'll be kind of fun. I actually haven't gone to any sort of Islamic conference in years. Well, I guess not years. Here, Darul Farooq used to be, so I live in Forest Lake now, but we used to live in a dinky town. When we rented a house in Dinky Town, and two there was our my house, and then right next to our house was the masjid, Dar Farouk, and this was the old Dar Farouk, and then Dar Farouk bought a new big building down, and it was down in they built it down in Bloomington, so back then when we lived down there, like maybe like 7 years ago or 8 years ago. And prior, it was lovely in a, in a sense that like your house is right next to the masjid, so every time it was time to pray, if you're at home, like you can hear the adhan and you can walk, like in the summer, because the windows would be open, you can hear the person call the call to prayer, and they didn't do it outside, it was from inside the building, but because it was summer and the windows are open and stuff, you can hear it right at our house. So it was nice. So you can pray like all this, all the salat there, all the, when it's time to pray. And you can attend whatever they're having at night. You can just go and hang out there and listen to whatever, or you pretty much caught whatever. If there was a lecture or something there, you would catch it because you would go to pray for Maghrib or something and be like, oh, hey, what's going on? And, hang out or whatever. So I haven't really done that in a while. And it's just because where we live now, there's not a masjid by us. So we're hoping soon one appears because the Somalis are now moving up into Forest Lake as well. So generally, when there's Somalis, there's a masjid appears, soon. Even if it's like the back of a store or something, wherever the wherever they are, there's a masjid because they're very communal. So, which is funny because when we moved up here, like nobody else moved up here to follow us, like, oh yeah, it's nice up there. And I get it because it is a kind of a drive if you work in the city. The commute, there is an express bus that comes up to Forest Lake, but the commute, if you drive, depending if you go to Minneapolis or St. Paul, but it's, a good half hour. From my house, it's probably like 40 minutes to my job in St. Paul. So, to people here, that's far. It's a lot of time driving. But like if you live in the East Coast, that's like a regular commute depending on where you live, 40 minutes to work. If you live in like the big cities areas, that's it. You can be stuck in traffic that long. There is that. But yeah, so it to make a long story short, I'll probably go on Saturday to this like seminar thing, and it could be nice because I haven't been to one in a long time, and I haven't seen like them dudes, like the people that ran Dar Farouk and split down to there with the new building. I haven't seen them probably since that happened. So, it'd be nice to see some of them and see how they're doing. But anyway, that's about it for right now. Thank you for listening. If you want to contact me, try to. StrangerMartel@gmail.com. You can send me a message on Instant Messenger, Facebook Instant Messenger. I don't really use Twitter, even though it this auto posts there. And that's about it. I don't use these other things either, like TikTok or I use Instagram. You can find me on Instagram. I post the pictures that are normally used as the like cover thing here. I pull them off of photos I've taken normally on Instagram. And there, I think my Instagram is Stranger Martel also, I think, now that I think about it. But anyway, thanks for listening. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.